Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We're going to read the Word of God together. Are you ready? It's going to be up on the screen. I believe it already is. Yes? No? There we go. All right. Are you ready to roll? Romans 12. All right. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Amen. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, my heart is soft. And where it's not, would you come and soften it? Put your hand on your head. Say, God, anoint my mind to hear and to understand your word. Change me in the ways I need to be changed. Amen. Amen. Give the person beside you a high five as you are taking a seat. Well, today we're taking just a one-week pause on our Nature of God, or our God Has a Name series, and we are bringing you a Sphere. Sphere is one of those weird Spheres-focused messages. You might be like, well, why are we taking a break from that? We're like scattering a Spheres-focused message throughout the year in different Sundays. And you might be wondering, well, what is Spheres? And we believe that all of us have a sphere of influence God has given to us. It might be the place you spend a lot of time in. That can be your sphere of influence. Work, school, sports, home, wherever, whatever that kind of setting is, where you spend the majority of your time during the week. Work might be you're driving your truck a long way. You might be hauling things, or your work might be, it might be in a classroom somewhere. Spheres is also, they can also be an area that you are passionate about. Maybe you don't work, maybe you work in a particular area, but you actually have a real passion to make a difference in a particular sector of society. Maybe you have a passion for the arts, you have a passion for justice, you have a passion for beauty or for truth or for even sustainability. And we have what's called Spheres groups that meet the first Tuesday of every month, which is coming up this week. Spheres, 7 o'clock here. You can find out more about this. But Spheres is, it's not an accident that you are good at certain things. It's not an accident that you work in a particular field or a particular place. It's not an accident that you have a passion for certain things. You are uniquely wired by God for the particular sphere of influence. It's not even an accident that you go to the school that you go to. You are uniquely wired by God to make a difference, to reflect Him in a unique way in your sphere of influence. Can you say, I have a sphere? I have a sphere of influence. God has uniquely, why don't you even just say this? Say, God has uniquely wired me to reflect Him in the sphere of influence. And now this is a big deal, because this is actually what it means to be human. To be human is this. It means to bring God's life into our world, into particular the sphere that you're in, so that sphere reflects, or it represents, it looks more like God's goodness, God's rightness, God's beauty. See, our faith and following Jesus isn't just a thing that we do on Sunday, and then we've got this huge gap called Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we're like, I kind of don't know like what I'm supposed to do. Like, I think I'm supposed to be a good person. It's probably, you know, a good thing that I'm kind instead of a jerk. It's probably a good thing that I, you know, I'm working, you know, doing my best. It's probably a good thing that, you know, I'm not stealing from work. It's probably a good thing that I'm trying to be nice. And it's, have you ever felt a gap between your Sunday life and the rest of your work week, your life? Spheres is about closing that gap. What it means to be human is to bring God's life into all the various spheres of us so they reflect his goodness, wisdom, beauty, and rightness. In scripture, this is actually called worship. See, when we gather together like we are today, some might think, well, what we were just doing in the first 20 minutes of the morning, all that singing stuff, that's worship. That's only a very, 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 very small part of what worship is. See, if you've been created by God, and what scripture tells us, we have been created by God, our number one role as a human being, we have been created by God. This goes back to Genesis 1. We're not going to go there today, but Genesis 1, why you're created in God's image, the reason that we've been given breath in our lungs is you and I were created to worship. And see, we all worship something. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something else. You can't help but worship. So worship isn't just this thing we do with God. Ultimately, that was the original plan, that is what would be a natural thing that human beings do. But you worship. You worship something. You might worship a status. You might worship a certain person in your life because they have a very valuable place in your heart. You might worship a certain set of ideals or beliefs. You might worship a way of life. But you worship, whether you realize it or not. We all worship. Say that with me. Say, I worship. I worship. See, when we gather like this, when we gather what we were doing, this is just one form of worship. And it's a type of worship. There's something going on in the unseen realm that we don't really understand. When God's church gathers together people, hundreds of people, all from different walks of life, you don't get a group like this in any other setting, in society, in our community, anywhere else in life. You do not get a gathering of people from such a diverse age group, from such diverse backgrounds, from such diverse cultures. And all of that gets put aside for the sole purpose. We are coming together around one thing, and that's Jesus. You don't even get that on a sports field because you know why? You got two opposing teams. So we're not centered around the right thing. Half of you are centered for your team and half of you are centered around your team. But the church is the only place where you get hundreds of people together, coming together in all of our differences for one thing, and that is to worship Jesus. There's something powerful going on in the unseen world that we do not understand. This is actually the most important gathering of our week. But this is not the only type of worship there is. Worship is about the constant reorientation of our whole lives towards God and his purposes. It's what Paul described in the verses we read together at the beginning, Romans 12. Let me read it again. Therefore, and this is a combination of two different translations. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's he meaning? I'm supposed to kill myself when I come to church? Nope, because it says living sacrifice. Are you happy for that one? I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is where the Message translation kicks in. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is your true worship. Every part of my life is supposed to be worship. What does that actually look like? Because I can sure as heck tell you, I don't think that my math teacher is going to be too happy if all of a sudden I burst into song in the middle of worship. Na 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 na. Like, I don't think they're going to be excited about, I'm free. I don't think your boss is going to be too thrilled about, you know, just sitting there with your eyes closed, praying in contemplation to Jesus while you're supposed to be making calls during the day. Teachers, as much as you would have loved the luxury of just sitting back and being in silence and solitude, those, you know, 18 grade 3 students are not going to cooperate with that. Needless to say, especially if the principal comes in on that day, it's not going to look very well on your record. What does it mean? Like, how do we actually do this? See, worship is about everything we are and everything we do. See, everything that I am and everything that I do is to be done in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. That is what worship is. I love what one author in the book, Our Souls at Work, he said, the word glory conveys the idea of beauty. So when you're reading your Bible and you go, what does this glory thing mean? We don't use glory in our everyday language. At least I don't. If you do, that's pretty interesting and kind of weird. But what does glory mean? The word glory conveys the idea of beauty. And he goes on to say, so as we do good work that reflects God's character, we unleash His beauty. People see God. Our work is a way to worship God. It has intrinsic value and can demonstrate God's character when we do good work. Work is an expression of our life in Christ. When you work with excellence as you're building that room or that house, or as you're welding things together, as you're pumping gas, as you're teaching a lesson in history, as you're changing diapers, as you're working on a math assignment, as you're driving between job sites, as you're serving coffee, as you're making food, as you're writing up a business proposal, as you're making those posts on social media for your clients, that can become an act of worship and not just empty work. See, work becomes an act of worship when it's done to God, to bring Him pleasure, when it's done through His strength and power, when it's done for Him. That is when our work becomes worship. Everyone say, my work is to be worship. My work is to be worship. Now, the reason when we find ourselves in a job, how many of you would be as bold to say as like, work is kind of challenging right now? Like, whether it's just hard, it's boring, students in school, if you're not loving it. Work is, right now, you might be in school full time, you're saying, I don't have a job. Your school is your work. I'm just at home with my children. That is work. That is extreme work. See, the reason our work becomes too hard or too boring, or it sucks us into this striving mode where we just like, oh, I'm not gonna, you know, whatever the striving looks like for you, whether trying to prove yourself or trying to, you know, to make build a business or trying to make a name for yourself or whatever work looks like for you, whatever that striving looks like, the reason work becomes hard, it becomes boring, it becomes monotonous, it becomes who cares, is because we haven't figured out how to connect work and worship. Work done as worship will bring the greatest fulfillment and joy to your life because you will be doing what you have been created to do, to bring glory to God. Work done as worship will bring the greatest satisfaction and joy to your life. It will replenish your soul and not become a thing that depletes you. Now you might say, well, you don't know my job. You're right, I don't. But I know a way that can transform it when you don't have the luxury of taking on or looking for a different job. Work done as worship will bring the greatest fulfillment to your life, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest joy. How can you transform getting up And knowing that, oh, I don't want to go to school this morning. I don't want to go to that job. I don't want to face the children this morning. Can't somebody else please feed them and get them ready? How do you transform it? By turning work into worship. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some three practical things. How do you actually, what does this look like? How do we do this? Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, there's our first point. How do you transform work into an act of worship? Well, number one, it's through the mercies of God. And what is that actually referring to? The mercies of God in Christ means you have been saved, you have been forgiven, you have been accepted, and you have been chosen, not because of anything that you've done or have not done, but only because of receiving the gift of Jesus Christ, receiving the life gift of salvation, receiving his life and receiving it into your life. And saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. And see, when I know that I already have the greatest love and acceptance that I've been chosen, I don't have to strive at work. I don't have to try to earn that through my work. I don't have to try to get that through someone's approval. If you have the King of the universe's love and acceptance and approval, who else's do you need? No one else's. Which means I can go to work with a completely different understanding. I can show up on the court or on the ice or for my kids or in the classroom. I can show up not needing to get something because I've been given the mercies of God. In view of the mercies of God, this becomes the new filter that we're to look at our life through. It's also about recognizing that every gift, every talent, every opportunity that we have is the mercy of God. You got that promotion last week or last month, not only because you were a hard worker, but because of the mercy and gift of God. In Psalm, it says God's favor, promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. It comes from God. The person who got the promotion over you? Was that the favor and mercy of God? Probably. Well, they're a boss that sucks. That's up to God and how he's going to work that out. The mercies. Everyone say the mercies of God. The mercies of God. So number one, in view of the mercies of God, what does it go on to say? I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is the second one. Number two, set your intention. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, how does that relate to work? How does that relate to school? Well, it means to put on an attitude of service. No matter where we are on the corporate food chain, and by that I mean whether you are a top exec in your field, or you are a low entry person, whether you're doing a labor job, whether you are a white collar worker, whether you don't even have a job that you are getting income from, it might be the job called raising 2-year-olds, or children, or I'm in grade 7. Wherever you are, we are in that sphere, you are in that sphere to serve others. This is how we worship, because worship is about service. This will literally transform your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's something about when we actually find ourselves getting into the groove for how we have been created by God to function, it changes everything. A lot of times life is hard and life sucks is because we are pulling against the grain of how we have been created to function and live. And sometimes life is hard because we resist. We're not resisting God, and God's like, you need to do this or else. And that's not how God is towards us. And I hope that if you have that kind of picture of God, oh, life is so hard because God's mad at me and he's just ready to smite me, and oh, I know I need to obey, but oh, God's just so mad at me. It's just like God's not mad at you. I don't care what you've done, God's not mad at you. Now, does that mean he likes everything we do? No. But there is something about how we've been wired by God that if we can get into that groove and recognize, I am at this place of work, I own this business as an act of service to others. How many of you are employers? You can put up your hand. Any employers? You employ people. What a beautiful gift to be able to serve and provide a way of income for others. Your business owner, what a beautiful gift to serve the community through a particular something, even if you're not in the service industry. Worship is about service. See, being a living sacrifice means I'm not out to make a name for myself, but to honor God. Being a living sacrifice means I give those I'm working for the work they expect of me, even when I'm tired and don't want to do it. Being a living sacrifice. Here you go, students, everybody, all the students who's in school. Any shape or form. Here we go. A living sacrifice means I give an assignment my best even when it seems pointless. Come on, what is the point of algebra? You will never use that again. You're right. Do you know what it is? This is anybody who's doing algebra for math. It's teaching your brain a certain way to function. It's calisthenics for your brain. It's a very important thing. But I give my assignment my best, even when it seems pointless. Being a living sacrifice means I can forgive the coworker who spread lies about me. Being a living sacrifice means I can take on less than satisfying work because supporting the family matters more than finding a perfect job. Being a living sacrifice means I can let another teammate take a shot even if I'm the stronger player. Being a living sacrifice means I can be the greatest encourager when morale is low, at work, at home, at school, on the team. Being a living sacrifice means as a boss, I'm concerned about the whole person of those who work for me and not just as workers doing a job. See, this is about connecting all this theology. We can read, I'm a living sacrifice, and we go, oh, that's cool. Doesn't relate to me because I'm not killing myself, that's for sure. But this is about connecting our theology to our everyday life. Now, if you want to know why spirits, it's so we can make this connection to the Word of God, to all of the scriptures, everything that we sing about. And what does this mean in our everyday life? It's not meant to just go here and sort of stay here, and then we go out those doors and life just goes on, and then we come back in here hoping for a good feeling. And so this is about connecting. This is going to be your worship, man, students. I challenge you to try these things for just 2 weeks and see how it transforms work. In fact, I would love to know. If you want to do that experiment, I would love to hear how it goes. Just 2 weeks, transforming work into worship. And this last one, number 3, choosing a different attitude. He goes on to say, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love what the message says. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. In other words, don't let culture dictate how you're supposed to go to work. One of the greatest things that you can do is ask God, God, how do you want me to go to school today? Everybody says it's supposed to suck and I should have a bad attitude about going to school. But I kind of secretly like it. Everybody says, workers, why are you working this job? And this is a dead-end job. And maybe you're getting flack from around. Why are you in this job? And it's a dead-end job. It's going nowhere. But you like it. there's something about it that brings you joy. You grab that thing and you're just like, oh, this is so awesome. Don't let culture dictate how you're supposed to work. Rather than automatically accepting that we should go to work or school or, you know, be involved in activities like everyone else, in what ways would God be maybe asking you to be countercultural in your sphere of influence, in the place, how you work, how you do life? Here's some examples. This is what it looks like on a very practical. What does countercultural look like? It looks like this. It looks like instead of jumping into your day and just getting on with the activities, it means taking a moment, pulling the whole week out, whether you've got a physical daytime or you just look at your schedule, and it's lifting up every meeting, every appointment, every interaction, lifting up the calendar to God and saying, God, this is yours. My times are in your hands. Would you help me to focus on what you need me to focus on in all of these meetings, in these this time with these students and all these things? What help me to focus on what you need me to focus on? That's something simple. Countercultural. Here's another one. Another way to live countercultural. The world says just work, 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 work. How about countercultural might be instead of pushing through the day, just stopping maybe once or twice for a pause to just remind yourself, okay, God, you're leading me. I mean, go do this in the bathroom if you need to. God, I'm taking a pause. Or do it when you go to the bathroom. I don't care. But pause. God, I am not a machine. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your life. I thank you for fueling me that I don't need to work, 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 work. But I am your child apart from anything I ever do. Living counterculturally might be changing how you do your commute. Instead of just distracting yourself and, you know, I got 2 hours, I got 20 minutes here, I got 15 minutes, I gotta get all the best stuff in. I'm gonna jam my head off. How about taking that commute time, whether it's 5 minutes or, you know, 50 minutes, and use it as a time to set up the day for a different kind of focus and how to live this out. Turn your commute into a time of setting intention. And you know, one way to do this, if you aren't already in the notes on the app, you could maybe open it up. Jacob, where are you? Where are you at? I saw an urn shirt. You can come up here. I'm going to have you do this and get your thing ready. How many of you have heard of a liturgy? Liturgies, if you're from a particular type of church background or setting, liturgies are very unique. Some of you have an idea about it. A liturgy is simply a script for worship. It's a pattern. It's scripted. It's a pattern that you follow in order to open yourself up more and to set your intention on God. Now, if you think of liturgies being, you know, think a script for how we are to go about our day, how we're to act, how we're to worship God. If you think of in acting, what do actors follow? The script. The script tells them how the actor is supposed to play their part, yes? And these liturgies, a liturgy for work or a liturgy for different types of work can be a way of setting your intention for how to transform your work into an act of worship. How to train our heart towards God. So this is what we're going to do. Jacob, why don't you come on up? Everybody give Jacob a hand. All right, why don't we all stand together? And we're going to start. I've got two here that we're going to go through. This first one is a liturgy for students. So if you are a student in any grade or even post-secondary, if you are a student of any kind, there's a great liturgy. It's also going to be, did they get it up on screen? I don't know. We were having some challenges. If they get it up there, great. How are we doing? Media, is it a yes to they got it? Wonderful. If you are a student, I want to invite you to read this along with Jacob. All right? You ready to go? Thank you for doing this. All right. Do you know how to use that microphone? Jacob.
Lord, help me to love learning, for the world is yours, and all things in it speak in some way of you. In every subject, may I see your design, purpose, wisdom, and truth. Grant me a passion for discovery and desire to seek your greater story in every discipline. Along this journey, I pray for teachers and mentors who will inspire a deep love in me for you, your creation, and your story. As I apply myself even to those subjects and tasks I find boring, reward my efforts with new insights, patience, and endurance, shaping my heart as I grow in knowledge and understanding. Guard my mind from error and my heart from comparison, shame, or pride. I ask for your grace to steward my gifts for your kingdom. Guide the paths of my life, Lord, into your purpose. Show me where my passions and the world's needs meet. In my studies and activities, let me serve you and others with love, kindness, and humility. Bless this season of learning and shape me for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bravo. Thank you. We're going to do one all together. A liturgy for our daily work. Are we ready to go? And this is whether you work at home, you work at school, you work in a job or a business. Here we go. God, our Heavenly Father, you declare your glory and show your handiwork in the heavens and in the earth. Deliver us in our various occupations from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you give us to do in truth and beauty and for the common good. For the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ. God, here are my hands. What do you want me to create or build today? Who do you want me to serve? What activities should I keep my hands from? May these hands help build your kingdom. God, here is my voice. I commit to only speak words of life today, words that build up and not tear down. Always speaking the truth in love, help me to be a voice for the voiceless today. Show me when to stay quiet. Oh God, may my voice make this world more like you've made it to be. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Take my life and let it be consecrated to you, Lord. Your kingdom come and my kingdom go. Amen. You know, if you don't have to do it now, but there are a kajillion, not quite, but there's just a lot of liturgies that are in the app for probably most settings relating to most people in this room or even watching online. You can at least fit into the one we just read. There's the liturgy for students that we read. There's a liturgy for unseen laborers. Maybe the type of work you do is unseen most of the time. There's a liturgy for athletes. There's a liturgy for moms of young children. There's a liturgy for teachers, for night shift workers, for those in manual labor, for first responders, for medical providers, for artists and makers, for those who employ others, those who are in the service industry. These are all ones that we adapted from a book called Every Moment Holy. It's a book of liturgies for pretty well everything you want to find. But we pulled some together to make this so practical, to give you a tool that we hope you'll use so that our work isn't just something we do. So that our work isn't just something we either do it for our glory, to make a name for ourselves, or to just build a good future for our family, or to be famous or whatever it is, or work that we hate doing because it's just so, what's the point? But to transform it into worship. See, how will the world be transformed? It's not through picketing, it's not through all sorts of things that just don't actually do a lot of good. And frankly, don't reflect God in a right way. Now, I'm not saying that we'd never do this, but I'm saying for the most part, most of that stuff doesn't do much. But you know what will transform? Where there are worshipers that are transforming the atmosphere in their school, in their home, in their place of employment, in their work, in their business, on the court, on the ice, in all the different corners where we're at. When there is worship taking place, something in the unseen is changing. That's how our world is going to be changed. That's how our world is going to be transformed. That is actually what it means to be saved. We are not saved for heaven someday in a far-off place that we're not quite sure what that means. We are saved to live eternally with Jesus, who is coming back and bringing heaven here on earth with him. And the work that we do now is a practice for work that we, in some way, shape, or form, we will work for all of eternity, but without toil, without pain, without frustration, without striving, without anxiety, without fear. What a beautiful gift we've been given to worship. Not only will we transform the spaces and the spheres that we're in now, but you will be transformed. Can we pray? Can you put your hand over your heart and pray with me? Say, Jesus, open my heart. Open my understanding to see the sphere of influence that you've given me. Would you show me how I can make it a place of worship, a place where you'll want to be, and a place that will transform all who encounter you through it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just pray for a fresh anointing on your people. God, I pray especially for those that are in hard seasons, where work is not enjoyable, where it's a hard season at home, school is hard, the environment might feel toxic. God, I pray your grace for those to be able to be the change agent in every one of those environments. God, I pray that a heart of worship would rise up in our hearts as your people. God, that we would become these worshipers that transform whatever sphere we're in. God, even this week, we pray for that transforming song, for that transforming life of your Father, worship and glory and honor to you. God, I pray that your presence would be so strongly felt by each and every one in Jesus' name. And you know what? Just with every eye closed, we're going to pray one more prayer together. It's a prayer of saying yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, I, you know what? When we worship God out of what's in us. And scripture says without Jesus, we're just dead on the inside. It's kind of hard for a dead person to offer worship. But Jesus Christ, almost 2,000 years ago on the cross, he dealt with all of our stuff, all of our bad hearts and broken ways so that we could be made new. And can we pray this prayer together? It's a prayer of saying yes online. If you want to join us in praying as well, just say, Jesus, thank you for the gift of salvation and the gift of a new life. I say yes to you. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sin and making me a new creation so that I can live on mission with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.